Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask you to give wisdom today and discernment concerning the things to come, so that when they do come, we're able to cooperate with you in the process and not be worried or troubled, but know where to go and what to do. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All right. Well, this is all about the man-child president coming. In the first revelation here, it's funny how we get these all coming together so beautifully, Vanessa Weeks' revelation, and it's called all about a celebration for the man-child body. Yes, and wait till you hear. She said, in my dream, there was to be a three-day celebration to honor David. And David here, of course, is representing the man-child body all over the world, being celebrated because of the 3 days of death, burial, and resurrection that has been manifested in them, because everything that has happened will happen on a larger scale. A lot of people don't know that. Well, they're going to miss a lot of prophecy that's written in the New Testament concerning the end times, right? This was to end in a Sunday morning church service. Well, I think this represents the third day, represents Resurrection Day. As Jesus was resurrected then, so shall the man-child body be, for the things that have been are the things that shall be. That's what the Lord says. I knew that invitations were sent out all over the world. As this celebration was about to take place, and we of UBM were getting ready for it here, while working on something for this event, I saw our son, Albin, which means fair-skinned, standing to my right. Fair-skinned, it could represent that he is white and represents holiness. He was here for this celebration. I was surprised because I didn't know he even received an invitation. He says he is an atheist. Well, invitation is the meaning of called in the Bible. Called. We've been invited to partake of the benefits of the kingdom. And so many lost will be called at this time. Especially family members, I believe. He was talking to David, and I think he liked what David was saying. Well, I believe the man-child will have a special evangelical anointing to draw the lost, and especially the relatives of the bride. There were many children around David, and then Albin told me that he had done some research on church and found out that you shouldn't come to church in shorts. This is spiritual now, okay? She put a walk that comes up short, maybe. Yeah, that's one idea. And another thought I had was the flesh walk of the old man should not be seen in the church, which means the called out ones, right? You're normally going to see that fleshly walk in the apostate church, right? And another condition was with gray hair. Gray can represent death. And she also put hair that lost its color, which is from the light, right? All color comes together as light, right? Or with a spot on your eyes, seeing with blemished sight. And I think Albin researched church because he was going to the church service on the third day and wanted to know how to dress and behave since he is not used to it. We have to get dressed up for the third day, right? To meet with Jesus. hopefully to be a disciple of Jesus and the man child, right? We have to know what it are you supposed to look like when you're a called out one, right? And I think that the virgins basically said that in Song of Solomon. They wanted to ask the Shulamite, the perfected one, return, return, O Shulamite, that we may look upon thee, because they wanted to see what it was that caused the King of Kings to choose her, right? It suddenly becomes important in all your religious teaching that didn't really prepare you to meet the Lord is now going to be worthless, right? So he wanted to look like resurrection light, like the rest of the disciples should be. And I thought of 1 Timothy 3:14-15. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. It is the called out ones of the living God. What should you live like and act like and walk like to be one of them, to be among them, right? This is the question. And that's why you need to know the scriptures, because knowing the scriptures is knowing the Lord, right? And he's the one we have to see in the mirror, right? We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18. I received by faith at random for this dream, Matthew 16:2, in context 1-4. And the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and trying him, asked him to show them a sign from heaven. But he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the heaven is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the heaven is red and lowering. We know how to discern the face of the heaven. Ye know how to discern the face of the heaven, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. An evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it but the sign of Jonah. Right. And he left them and departed. And the sign of Jonah is in Matthew 12:40. And it says, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So, the sign of Jonah is resurrection after 3 days, just as here in this revelation. And we'll see this more as we go on. After I received Matthew 16:2-4 above, in the ESV I opened my Kindle to look at it in the ASV, and it was also at Hosea 6:2-3. After 2 days will he revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live before him. Let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is as sure as the morning. He will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. We'll say, here we are after 2 days, spiritual 1,000-year days, on the third day from Jesus. And people are wanting to know how he's going to come. Well, it tells you right here, he's coming as the latter rain that watereth the earth on the morning of the third day where we are now. This is the way he's coming. He's not coming in the air for the disciples first. That's at the end of the tribulation period. What he's coming for now is in the latter rain to raise up his people to get them ready to meet him In the early church, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, which empowered them to walk as he walked. Therefore, they were ready to meet the Lord. Today, most of the church hasn't even been filled with the Holy Spirit and doesn't think it's necessary to walk as he walked. But everyone that abides in him walks as he walked. Well, notice the Lord will come to us on the third day as the latter rain anointing. He will come by anointing of the Holy Spirit and the Word manifested in the man-child body, just as Jesus came in the body of the Son of David. And, of course, Jesus was the first to receive the former rain. And then he turned and gave it to the disciples. And notice that when history repeats, it always repeats on a larger scale. Jesus is coming as the latter rain on all those that are going to receive him. And she prays, Father, thank you that you will come to us as the latter rain. Thank you that the time is close for the death, burial, and resurrection of the Davids. We will have a great celebration when we see you again and our loved ones coming into the kingdom. Amen. I know you will help all your elect know how to behave in the house of God. Amen. Very good. Now, here's another one that's real close to that one. This was given to Eve Brast, and we called it POTUS, David, receives two houses. It's something we know about recently. Because POTUS is President of the United States, David, representing the man-child. And this is interesting because we've had several like this before, pointing this out of the dominion that the man-child or Jesus in the man-child is going to exercise in the earth in these coming days, right? And Eve received this on the first week of January 2020. She said, I dreamed that David, and David here I believe represents the David man-child body, and I, representing the bride, because Eve was, of course, the bride of Adam, and the last Adam is Jesus, so Eve here represents the bride of the last Adam. So David and I were touring a house in a city. Because I know the rest of the revelation here, I'm going to say it's David's house. It was a three-story house located on one of the main city streets. Now, my physical house is not three stories. It's two. But we know that David's spiritual house is a three-story house because it's about the salvation of the spirit, soul, and body of men, right? The local UBM brethren were also there touring with us. And this is the current UBM house, representing the larger UBM bride body who are touring or passing through as sojourners where the bride is being matured. The realtor lady was showing us the house. It was so clean and fully furnished in an elegant modern style, and I remember that the couches were all white. And this represents a resting place of the bride, and that it is holy and pure. I remember thinking and whispering to David, "This is the house I've always wanted." Well, the bride desires the house, the holy house, ruled by David, the man-child body, as King David ruled over Jerusalem, that John was told was the bride in Revelation. So notice all these things are still happening on a larger scale, right? Everything that happened in the Gospels is happening on a larger scale in our day. Corporate bodies. When Jesus entered into the New Testament, of course, he became a corporate body, the body of Christ. And so it is with every other entity. That's why people don't understand the book of Revelation. They don't understand those corporate bodies over there. Notice that the harlot is a corporate body. The church is a corporate body over there. The beast is a corporate body over there. Yes. And the man-child is too. Okay. This is rightly dividing the Word of God, right? Once you see a pattern, you need to follow the pattern. So David took a white piece of paper and wrote 175,000 on it and handed it to the realtor. And he asked her if the owners would take 175,000 for it. And she was happy and said, "I'll ask them. I don't think it will be a problem." She acted like the sale was a done deal. Well, you know, every once in a while, God puts a little messages in things for you. I mean, obviously, all this is for the corporate body, but he puts a little messages in there for you. But amazingly, this is the price that the Lord told us to offer the realtor lady for this house. Ain't God good? And David said, "Okay, great." Yes, it is. Because they were asking more. And then we all walked out of that house onto the sidewalk. We walked about a block up the city street to a large mansion. And the sun shone on everything in the city, and all the houses and buildings were made of white brick or stone. Even the sidewalks were white. Now we know this is in the spirit, of course, and because there's no such city as this. But God uses things around us, you know, to point out physical things around us, true. But he also makes a spiritual revelation there. You know, this is the city of the clean people here. This is the bride here. Okay. As we were walking, the sun was shining on all of us. Amen. That's what we need, right? The S-O-N, right? And I looked to my right a little ahead of me and saw Merle walking with us. This is another relative coming in as Albin in the above dream given to Vanessa. You know, these people don't corroborate on their dreams. It's just very neat how God does that. He does it to confirm it to you, too. He looked over at David and said something like with a big smile on his face. He looked so free, and David said something back to him. His wife, Missy, was walking behind me and also joined in their conversation. We were all happy and excited. Well, amen. It is so good. We're excited because we're going towards the mansion, right? When we entered the mansion, there was a fairly large entryway, and beyond that was a very large living room that opened to the left of the entryway. The sun shone on everything in the city, and all the houses and buildings were made of white brick or stone. Even the sidewalks were white. I think I doubled that up, but that's okay. Good point. Well, knowing the rest of the dream, this is our White House. And when you get to the rest of the dream, you'll understand why we're going to a White House, right? But I believe it represents our expanded ministry and administration and not just one building, obviously. It was so large that it had high open ceilings. You could see the two support pillars and all the beams and rafters, all the lighting was like track lighting along the rafters and beams. And she said the Temple of Solomon also had two pillars, Jachin and Boaz. Jachin means Yah establishes, and Boaz means strength. This is something God's going to do by his strength. It has nothing to do with man's ability. It has to do with something he has decided to do, and we will soon see the proof of it. To the right of the entryway was a large kitchen with a dining area at the far back corner. And on the side of the kitchen closest to the entryway was a children's kitchen. Everything was small and their size. And there were two little blonde hair represents submission. Hairs represent submission in 1 Corinthians 11. And this speaks of submission to the sun, because the colors always make a difference. There were two little blonde girls and a blonde boy, sisters and brother, practicing making meals in the children's kitchen. And she puts, teaching the little sister how to prepare the spiritual food for others. This is true. This is actually what a school, which we've been likened to many times in dreams and visions and revelations, it's what a school does, is prepare people to give out the food, right? Many people who sit and listened to us and shared the teachings on the site and so on and so forth, they realize that these are growing them up and maturing them and giving them food to share with others, right? To bring them into the kingdom. And this is what we've been told by the Lord that we will do, get the gospel out to the world in a huge way. Amen. The carpet in this area was evergreen in color, and there was a staircase from the children's kitchen area that led up to the second and third floors. In other words, they had to graduate. Evergreen, she says, is the color of eternal life. That's true. The third floor is the highest level of maturity, representing spirit, soul, and body. Amen. We went up to the second floor where all the bedrooms were. There was a children's play area, and I had brought a box of old vintage toys for the children to play with. So I unpacked the box and placed the toys in the play area. And the children were so excited because they had never seen these toys before. And I believe that this is representing revealing the ancient past to the younger Christians and them desiring this. You know how exciting people get when they start seeing deeper words and they get edified in their soul and they get stronger in the Lord and they get an appetite to dig in the word, an appetite to be taught, and so on. It's an exciting thing. It's a good move of the Spirit on our souls. And these people had never seen these toys before, you know, and that's the way with a lot of people that we're going to bump into, is they haven't known these truths. They haven't known these ways. They haven't known, for instance, that the ancient ways of the early disciples are supposed to be their ways. You know, children play with toys, it's like, you know, their imagination enters into them being and doing this and living this and so on, you know. And that's the way it should be with all of us. Then we went up to the third floor where there was a huge bath area. Yep, of course, and for the cleansing of the body, right? It was like an upscale spa with walk-in showers and massage tables and chairs. And over to my right was a large tiled patio with sliding glass doors. Yep, so you can go out and bathe in the sunlight, right? That's what you do when you get in the Word. You're bathing in the sunlight. Outside on this patio was a large, tall, yellow water slide. And there was a woman out there supervising all the children riding on the slide. There were these clear plastic dolphins that each child would sit on to ride down the slide. The lady also would hand the children white towels to dry themselves with. She writes here, "We will be able to minister the water of the Word and the importance of sanctification to the elect children of God." Yes, that's right. I looked up at the high raftered ceilings above the bath area and saw the most beautiful floral hangings draping down. This is very interesting in this white house, because we had another dream that, of course, actually from the other side of the world than this dream, and they didn't know each other and didn't cooperate, but the same thing is there. It's very interesting. They smelled heavenly and were the most beautiful flowers I'd ever seen. And a note here by Eve. A sacrifice of sweet smell is our sanctification and cleansing ourselves to the Lord. Amen. We are a sweet smell to the Lord, like flowers. And flowers are beautiful. The Lord's got a people that are beautiful, too. Then we all went back down to the living room area and stood next to one of the support pillars. And David looked to be in his 30s. Well, 30 is the age at which one can enter public ministry. David and Joseph and Jesus were 30. And the man-child will be anointed at 30, spiritually speaking. There were Secret Service details. Now, we know from other revelations that we have that where these people were there, and we consider that this is the angels. They're a secret service. And they're ministering spirits sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation, right? A secret service. And men in hard hats installing surveillance cameras and monitors throughout the house. And Psalm 91, 10 through 12 says, "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. For he will give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Okay. So, Eve says, David was now the president. Of course, that's what this mansion was. This was the White House, right? The president. Is it right for any man to be president? Well, what we're talking about here is a body of people in whom the man, Jesus Christ, lives and works and does his works. You know, he does his works through us. We need to invite the Holy Spirit, who Jesus said takes of mine and declares it unto you. You see, the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us to walk in the steps of Jesus and do the works of Jesus. And that's what the anointing of the man-child is. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So David was now the president. Well, Revelation 5 and 10 says, "And he madest them to be unto our God a kingdom and priests, and they reign upon the earth." Wow. Some versions say kings and priests, right? They reign upon the earth. And Revelation 2 and 26 says, "And he that overcometh," notice this is not talking about Jesus, but those who have overcome in him, right? "And he that overcometh, and he that keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nations." There you go. Also, Hebrews 2, 6 through 8 says this, "But one has somewhere testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him?" No, in other words, we're not talking about glorified man here. Look, "What is man that you're mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him?" Yes, the Lord does visit the sons of men. "Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, and thou crownest him," a man, still talking about man, "with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands." Well, we know that all this was spoken to about Adam, who was a natural man, not even of the born again supernatural man, Jesus Christ, right? "And didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou didst put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he subjected all things unto him, he left nothing that is not subject unto him." Boy, I tell you, we need to learn this lesson, and we will, because we've got an expert teacher coming to help us, and that is Jesus and the man-child is coming to show us how to walk as sons of God on this earth, as rulers on this earth. Jesus said, "As the Father sent me, so send I you. And whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven." Right? "And whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven." He gave authority. He gave dominion to his disciples. No, not just churchgoers, not people that call themselves Christians because they believe in Jesus, but people who are overcomers and who believe the truth and have searched the scriptures and found out what it is to do to be, to walk as the Son of God, right? Now, we know that both Joseph and Daniel, types of the man-child, were second only to the king on his throne, which was representing God. They had dominion. They were given dominion. And the David man-child body will rule in the earth, confirmed in other dreams. We have an article called Our Limitless Authority in Christ, which covers quite a few revelations about this, and another, Death and Resurrection of the Davids, which covers revelations concerning this. And they're just awesome. So I'll put the links in the text, and you can go to them. If you don't know or feel that we are to walk as Jesus walked, as the Bible clearly says, you're not going to seek this dominion and authority. This could save your life, the life of your loved ones, the life of people around you. It's very important to understand that we were delegated authority. When he delegated authority to his disciples, and they went out and did the exact same things that he did, and he told them, "Now, you go and make disciples and teach them to observe everything that I taught you." So there you go. Everything Jesus said to his first disciples, he is saying to us. We have that dominion. It's not to save self from going to the cross. It's a dominion over the works of the devil, over the curse of the devil, over the devil's curse that he exercises on the people of God, right? We have this dominion. David says something like, that's not really necessary, talking about the Secret Service guys. But the Secret Service guys insisted. That was their job, right? The angels watch over our safety, right? And I said to David, well, you are the President of the United States. Sounds nutty, doesn't it? But when you stop and see what the Scripture says, it's not so nutty. It's exactly what the Lord is saying in His Word, clearly as can be. He said something about the price of the mansion costing $850 million. And I said, well, that's a drop in the bucket since you have billions of dollars. I believe that this is talking about, well, Eve said so, $2 billion will come in for the kingdom work and ministry, providing for refugees and getting the gospel to the world. And she said, in my mind, in the dream, I knew it was about $8 billion. Okay. You know, when I first got a revelation back in 2007 of the Father giving me $1 billion, I thought, Lord, that's a lot of money. What do you want me to do with that? You know. But when I realized how big a scope the job is and how many people we're supposed to be dealing with and helping and providing for and so on, I realized, it might not be enough, Lord. So he gave me that vision of $1 billion to take care of his children. But then more recently, we asked for more. And he said he would give $1.6 billion. So we asked for more. He said all things whatsoever. That's what he said. You know, we kind of take him at his word a little bit, you know. So we asked for more to provide for his people and to reach the world with the gospel, since, by the way, that we're supporting hundreds of missionaries in dangerous lands with money and literature. Yep, we've been doing that. Can't say anything about it. People will lose their heads. So we don't talk about it much. So considering this, that this was greatly expanding the reach of our ministry, and we can just see that it's going to continue to do that. So I asked for exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And then we got this dream. Isn't that neat? Ephesians 3 and 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Isn't that neat? So don't think you can out-ask or get make it too tough for God, right? That's ridiculous. He wants us to be able to reach the world, and he has to do it in a very short period of time. And people have to come to maturity in a very short period of time. If you start the tribulation, you've only got 3.5 years before the beast starts making war against the saints. Now we got to get them armored up, and we got to get the word of God, the sword in their hand, right? Okay, so there's a work that's going to have to go out quickly and reach far. And that's what God's planning to do with us. And then she said, David said, yeah, well, I guess you're right. Then I woke up. And I asked Father for a word for this dream by faith at random. And if you don't believe in that, just listen to the word here. And my finger was on the Jews gathered in Esther 9 and 2. 1 through 5 is the context. Now in the 12th month, which is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to put in execution, on the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have rule over them. And of course they do. I know Obama had a plan to do that. And since he was a little premature, and God wanted to give us a rest until the middle of the tribulation period, he took him out. And he's still taking his army out. The enemies of the Jews hoped to have rule over them, whereas it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them. No, there it is. The Jews had rule over them. You see that? Exactly what we're talking about. That hated them. And as a direct result of Mordecai, the man-child, and Esther, the bride's intercession, this happened. Right? Verse 2. The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them. That's that great dominion. My goodness, look at that. For the fear of them was fallen upon all the peoples. And all the princes of the provinces and the satraps and the governors and they that did the king's business helped the Jews because the fear of the Lord, a fear of Mordecai was fallen upon them. The man child, Mordecai, little man is what Mordecai means. For Mordecai was great in the king's house. And his fame went forth throughout all the provinces. For the man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. And the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, which is the word of God, and with slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto them that hated them. Yes, and of course, we've been in training to do just this. And the enemies who think they can overthrow the work of God and the people of God and the bride of God and the man-child of God, the enemies are so foolish because they've never been able to do it and they're not going to do it now. It's them that's going to be slaughtered. It's them that's going to fail. So, also, Vanessa had this revelation, Vanessa Weeks, about the bride basically being crowned. And she got this on January the 15th, 2020. She said two white tables were set up together in the Shaw house. Just like our pot blessings, but there was no tablecloth or food. We of UBM were sitting at these tables. And there were no factious people at these tables, right? And sitting at the middle of these tables was Eve with her back to the master bedroom. I was sitting directly across from her. And Eve was dressed as a queen. Well, remember, just as Eve was the bride of Adam, Eve here represents the bride of the last Adam, Jesus Christ. And she's dressed as the queen, meaning, of course, I think it means she has graduated. These are the chosen people of the bride. The born again from above bride brought to maturity through the ministry of the pre-anointed body of the man-child. That's right. You know, the man-child is not anointed and caught up to the throne until Revelation 12, but he's already been raising up the bride during the period of time, even before that anointing, the king's anointing, came upon him. So, the faction has separated the leaven, from the bride, and she's ready. And Esther became the queen through the ministry of Mordecai, meaning little man or man-child, when she went to the king's house. That's when she became the queen, right? So what we're seeing here is a revelation that this is going to happen. A few people started throwing balls made of wadded up paper. They were playing catch and throwing them directly in Eve's path. And of course, this is where she would put them under her feet, as in overcoming. Some of these paper wads went over her head. Now, a paper wad, of course, comes when you are discarding paper that's no longer needed, right? That's when you make a paper wad. And this represents what was written with ink on paper is no longer needed, for it has become heavenly in the soul of the bride. And then she said, this was not bothering her, but I was thinking, why don't they have respect for her since she is a queen? Well, this persecution is what caused the caution and the patience in the bride to bring her to maturity. And also, what was written against the bride is discarded and under her feet. Yeah. So it's all been cast down, isn't it? It's nothing. All the lies that were spoken against the bride, as they were throughout the Word of God, are cast down under her feet. And while praying about this dream, I heard the Lord say, no good thing will I withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 84:11. No good thing will I withhold from them that walk uprightly. You know, God's got a great provision. He's shown us a great provision for the bride. The bride is going to come into deliverance from the curse and all the lack that is represented in that. The bride is going to be blessed by God shortly. There's going to be a reversal of fortunes. Those who have persecuted and lied and slandered and so on, they're through with their crucifixion. They're going to be put down. And the bride is going to be lifted up as the humble people that they are. And a great provision is going to be given to them. And it's not just for them, but so that they can do the work of the Lord. Remember, Jesus sent out his disciples. He told them, look, you don't even have to carry a purse or a wallet. You just go and I'll provide for you wherever you go. Every need will be provided. And that was the bride, the first fruits people. That was the bride. Like John said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Right? So that was a type of the bride for our day. Everything is going to be provided. Everything. Everything necessary to get the gospel out, because Jesus sent them out to bring the good news to the people of God. And he anointed them and he gave them authority over all the power of the enemy, and he sent them forth. Once again, this is going to happen. So, we also got from Claire Pinar in January 21st, this 2020, a word about the coming of the man-child and friends. Let me share that with you. In a dream, I was on a day trip with my family and other Christians that we've met here in Tasmania. It felt like a day trip, as Rian and I could not commit to being with them for the full time. She has in parenthesis here, we're only on earth for a little while, and we are in the race for a place with Jesus in eternity. Right. Amen. And there are certain wonderful goals along the way that people have, that God's put in their heart, and they want to run the race with patience that's set before them and arrive, right? My children were playing on big boulders near the beach's end water. Daniel was washed onto the rocks, and he was bleeding pretty badly. No one on the daybreak had any faith for healing. We took him to the hospital. And, of course, you know, the true church is like a hospital for healing the sick. But much of the church does nothing about healing the sick. So she took him to the hospital, and a South African female doctor told us we needed to go to Texas to get him treated by a Dr. Shift. Shift. Okay. To Texas. Well, you know, that's a long ways from Texas. Tasmania is a long ways from Texas. So there's something spiritual there. And we've run into this word in spiritual dreams and visions too, so we kind of know what it means. But, you know, the apostate church has no healing. They would have to send you somewhere else. If you go to them to ask for healing, you're wasting your breath. And I believe that Dr. Shift here represents Jesus in the man-child body, who will bring a shift in faith and in doctrine to the worldly church, and in effect heal many spiritually and physically. And also, Texas means friends. In the literal, Texas, all are not friends. There's lots of enemies there, you know. But there is healing among the saints, and they are all friends. If there are saints, they're all friends. Saints means sanctified ones, right? So they're all friends, you know. But what did Jesus say in John 15 and 14? You are my friends if ye do the things which I command you. Oh, okay. You are my friends if you do the things which I command you. What did he command us? He commanded us everything that he commanded the first disciples. Everything. So, you see, we fall behind. What are we striving to do? Walk in the steps of Jesus. That's what a disciple is, a learner and a follower. Right? We are to walk as he walked. If we abide in him, we are to walk as he walked, right? So Jesus wants a lot of little Jesuses out there to go around and do the same work he did. We are his body, right? So you can see how far the church has fallen from those commands. I thought Texas was so far away. It seemed overkill for Daniel's flesh wound on his right butt cheek. And I knew he'd be okay, and it would heal with no problem. And she puts, the immature Christians get hurt all the time, and they need paddling. padding of the word to be resilient and walk as Christ walked. Well, amen. True. The South African doctor told me that it was just over the Tasmania-Texas complex of mountains. You can do stuff like this in a dream, you know, right? She showed me a map to confirm this bizarre information. The map could not be refuted. Well, okay. You must be right then. She explained that there'd been a major shift of oceans, mountains, and continents while I'd been tucked away in Tasmania with my family. And I said, okay. What does that sound like? A major shift of oceans, mountains, and continents. At the time when they were going to see Dr. Shift, who is the man-child, right? Who represents the man-child body. Well, as we have seen in dreams, the man-child comes in the midst of the earthquakes, spiritual and physical, caused by the approach of Planet X. And it is, folks, going to crack up the earth. It is doing it now. And it's going to do a lot worse. A lot worse. It's going to shift everything. I hopped on a boat with my family and others, and off we went. The boat was like a caravan that could go across the water. We were there in Texas in less than 1 hour. I dreamed about Texas often. I believe that the meaning of Texas is friend. Yes, that's right. Or friendship. And we are friends with Jesus. And we're friends with everyone Jesus lives in, too, aren't we? Yes, amen. And we are his disciples, and that's where we are headed, to spiritual Texas, where we will have more friendship with Jesus and like-minded, spirited believers. Yes, this is true. That's how Texas is. I believe that they might come very much, well come to be with us. But physical Texas, nah, I don't think so. But you see, like we said, Texas is full of people with opposite opinions. But when people gather around the Word of God, it brings everybody together. I'm remembering, you know, when I worked at Exxon many years ago, and we had a meeting at noon, and we had for Christians to come and bring their Bible and study and talk, you know. And when we taught a lot on how that we can't add to or take away from the Word of God, people started getting the idea, oh, we're going to have to go read the Word to find out how we're supposed to come together. Be friends, right? Denominationalism is sectarianism, and it is faction. Well, not to the great degree it is these days, but it is faction. And that's not friends. The Lord said that he wanted us to come together in the last days, right? One flock, one shepherd. Everyone who was in the boat caravan spoke highly of Dr. Shift. They had all received healing from him. Well, you know, when Jesus was on the earth, many were brought to him for healing and deliverance. And he healed them all, the Bible says, right? And he's coming in the man-child body now to do even greater works than these. They were all families with very vocal husbands who already were in their 40s with slight gray hair. I think speaking maybe of maturity. And their wives were all submissive and kind and hospitable. It was so nice to be on this boat caravan with them. Their children seemed younger than ours, but were well behaved, which was so welcome and a change from the children or the fruit that we'd seen in Australia and Tasmania. The people were all already living in America, in Texas. So they were already friends, right? That's why she was so impressed, right? but they had mingled accents. That's because they've come from everywhere, and they are coming from everywhere. Like they lived elsewhere before and then went to USA / Texas. Saints, a great, just like Jesus and his disciples, great spiritual schools will rise up around man-child ministries to quickly bring the saints into their sanctification and Christ-likeness. They don't know that this is an opportunity, but they will. So many will gather around them as they did Jesus, and he taught them. He had to go out in the wilderness. There weren't any buildings big enough. So they could gather around and hear teaching. It felt like they had come to fetch us from Tasmania. And because the saints are all together at the end in the spirit, everyone was so pleased. I had an individual appointment with Dr. Shift for my son's healing. Yes, and of course, they will heal the fruit of the spiritual man. They will heal the bodies of the saints. Remember when the saints went into the wilderness, the Old Testament saints went into their wilderness, there wasn't one feeble one among them. Can you imagine? They were all healed and healthy. You know, they'd eaten the manna. They'd eaten the Lamb, who is Christ. They'd eaten the Word of God, and they were healed. And then they were filled with the Spirit at the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness. They were healed. You suppose the same thing's going to happen? I know it's going to happen. Remember, he's coming to us as the latter rain. What do they do in the former rain? Well, Jesus went around healing people, sent his disciples out to heal people, etc., etc. Same thing's coming. Same thing. Same thing. They will. This is the great miracle of what's coming. I heard a so-called prophet talking about the great things that they're going to discover to heal this disease and that disease and all the other. Didn't say a word about the great healing miracles that are coming to heal all of God's people without any medicine or any doctors. You know, this is nuts. I went to see Dr. Shift, and he'd written a big book that his slightly younger associate asked me to read before the consultation. And who's the slightly younger associate? Well, I suspect it was one of those disciples, right? I tried, but I could not get through all of it, and there was no internet to access the Cliff Notes for the book. Well, there's no shortcut or cheating your way through the Bible. You just have to read it. Well, amen to that. And it's really what brings us all together. That's what we discovered when we gathered together all the different denominations there at Exxon, and we decided we were going to agree with the Bible, no matter what. And I tell you what, that quickly brought a bunch of people together, even preachers. They're the hardest ones to bring together. It brought preachers. Now, there was a few preachers that got up and huffed off, you know. But I got good many stayed, and we had wonderful miracles there. Powerful miracles like they'd never seen. Eyes opened. People saved the next day. We agreed for them, and on and on and on. Cancers disappearing, and, you know, demons coming out, and so on, you know. And it just brought everybody together. Amen. Well, Dr. Shift then met with me and told me Daniel was healed. And I agreed. Well, and didn't he say, if any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father, right? And by whose stripes ye were healed. What's God going to tell you? He is going to tell you what the Bible says. and that is that you're already healed. You're already healed. It happened at the cross. By grace have you been saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, works is when you go set about to heal yourself. Whether it's spiritual or physical healing, it makes no difference. It's already done, and you're supposed to accept it as a free gift from God. And it will definitely come if you do that, if you enter into the rest. And he that hath believed doth enter into that rest, right? What, believed what? Believed that by whose stripes you were healed. You don't have to get healed. You have to accept your healing, right? Whether it's spiritual or physical, doesn't make any difference. You accept it. You behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. That's the gospel, is that you accept it as a done deal. The one who lives in you, like Paul said, is no longer you. It's Jesus. Amen. It was getting dark, so he said that he'd take me back to the caravan boat. But first, he wanted to show me his house. There it is again, that house, which was an extension of his practice. Yes, that's exactly the way it is here. Wow, it was perfectly white, which mine is not, except in the spirit. It was gorgeous, and he had fresh paintings and blooms in each room. There it is, the blooms in each room. That was just like Eve's dream that we just shared. I realized that this hospital / university, we've got many revelations about David's university, right? This hospital university building, that's what I thought it was actually a new city. Yeah, what is the new city? Jerusalem, the bride, which is being born from above. Even as the word of God, the manna, comes down and enters into the hearts of God's people and bears fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Right? The new city. It was, in other words, this is not talking about old Jerusalem. There is nothing holy about old Jerusalem. They quit calling it holy in the Bible after they crucified Jesus. Did you know that? Go back and check. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's not holy. This new Jerusalem that's being born from above, like we are, born literally anew or again, which is from above in John chapter 3, we're being born from above. It is coming down out of heaven. Don't look for a building to fall down out of the sky at the end of the tribulation period, folks. It was gorgeous and pristine in the landscaping. My children, who'd come with us for Daniel's appointment, had asked me for food. They were now hungry, as it was almost dinner time, and he said that he'd sort that out for me. Well, of course, that's the job of the man-child ministry, is to feed the food of heaven, the manna. Jesus said he was the manna that came down out of heaven that gives life to the world. And that's what we need to feed to other people, the word. Jesus is the word, right? We need to feed them the word. They don't need opinions from theologians. They need the word. And we really can't preach it any better than he already preached it. So we just got to kind of point it out to people, you know. We took an elevator down one level, and I told him we'd have to use my van to get to the boat caravan, as it was parked on the shore, and my silver van was in the car park in the front of the university hospital complex. I was so ashamed it was not cleaned adequately, and windows were dusty, like we'd come out of a storm. He did not seem to mind in the least. He was so lovely and loving. Well, you know, our our vehicle is this physical life that we live and walk in. Jesus called it the Son of Man. His Son of Man was inhabited by the Son of God. We are the same. He was made in the image of God, and we are too. And so we are Son of Man, which is our vehicle, and Son of God. So just then I saw the driver's door was opened on the right side, and there were jumper cables inserted incorrectly into my car. Somebody is trying to drain her battery. A single mom with dirty little kids was trying to use my car to start her own. Well, really, I mean, we're supposed to help people get a jump start, aren't we? So it's not so bad. She had a thick Russian accent. I was not angry at her, even though she abused my property. And she put here the immature little sister of the church with her dirty fruit. Yeah. Dr. Schiff told her to get into my van with her kids. And then she said in parentheses, we must exercise love and grace here for those seeking to get into the kingdom of God. Yes, we should be a vehicle by which they get into the kingdom of God. Amen. So he drove us all to a McDonald's. It was the biggest, cleanest, healthiest one I'd ever seen. He ordered us food that was, get this, not from the menu. The thought came to me now. I believe this is some of Jesus' humor. Not made by a clown. That's what popped in my head when I got there. Not made by a clown. And then he dropped my children and I off at our mobile boat caravan. He then took her and her kids elsewhere. So, and why is that? Well, people that are still dirty and need cleaning up, you know, they need, you know, more and different kind of teaching sometimes. They need people to bring them aside and give them the basics, while people, you know, that already have the basics and are walking in them don't need that. So they need good training, right? Training has to happen on different levels. And, you know, when we do what we're doing now, obviously some people pick some of it up and some people don't pick up some of it. That's okay, because the Holy Spirit will cause them to pick up what they need to pick up, right? There are many things I have to teach you, but you can't receive them all right now, Jesus said, right? So we just, and it's the same way when we read the Bible. Don't worry that you don't understand some things. Don't let that hinder you because you don't understand some things that are written in the Bible. One day, when you've laid enough foundation, that revelation will come too. But you got to build on a foundation, and the foundation has to be laid. And when you get that, the more you build a house from the floor up, not from the ceiling down, right? So when you get enough foundation, other things will open up to you. Every time you read the Bible, you're going to get revelations, because you put more in there. You've got a better foundation. Now you can understand this. And then when you get that, you can understand this line upon line here, a little in there, a little, right? So don't get disturbed. The devil likes to make people or torment people because they don't understand what they're reading. You're going to understand something. Go and read it so that you can understand the thing you want to understand when the time comes. Because if you don't put it in there, you can't get the 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit. And guess where the seeds are? They're in the fruit. That's right. So if you want to be a use to your family and the people around you and the people of the world, you got to have fruit. I did not want to be without him. I just wanted to be with him forever. He assured me that we would see each other again soon and reminded me of his home and my room in his house. It was a beautiful room. Amen. The spiritual house. You know, we've got people in the house of UBM on the other side of the world and all the way around the world. You know, they're part of our, a member of our body, part of our house. So it's not geography we're talking about or the letter which killeth. It's the spirit that gives life, right? We got on the boat and then realized that I needed to be on the other caravan boat with the families that we'd met before. See, we don't belong with the people of the world. We seek the fellowship of the born-again people from above. Be not deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. You know, if you spend all your time with worldly people, then the input that you're getting into your hard drive is worldly. And if you go to a worldly church, it's the same way. It's worldly. Get around people that love the Word and want more of the Word and more of Jesus and want to do the works of Jesus, right? And she puts, trials are not going to stop. We are constantly going to need to fight in the Spirit for our place in the kingdom. This is true. This is true. It's, we're running a race, right? There was a storm coming, and I could not steer the boat. And I could see a Coast Guard boat come up and try to steer me to the right side. And she said, we have the angels to protect and fight for us. They are the Coast Guard, and they are fighting in the Spirit. And, according to this, to turn us to the right, right? For gosh sakes, look out there. You don't want to go to the left nowadays. They're crazies, you know, total crazies, demon-possessed. God is turning them over to the devil. It's amazing. I guess some people are seeing it. Some people saw what happened at the State of the Union, and they said, I am never going to vote Democratic again. Because they saw a reprobate there doing a dirty deed. Well, that's good. Because the more corrupt something gets, notice that denominations are that way, the more corrupt they get, the more people come out from among them. Because they're more, it's easier for them to recognize, hey, there's something wrong here. Yeah. It had one huge white light that was blinding. You know, yeah, they do that on the Coast Guard boats. It was pitch black, and big waves were coming. A storm was coming, right? Need to turn to the right. They wanted to turn to the right. I got on to the other boat supernaturally without help from myself, and my children sat on the floor to eat fruit that one of the other moms had packed to share around. So now she was getting in the boat where she needed to be with the right people, friends, right? She said, let God do his work and we do ours, and to have faith and to believe in the promises to not grow weary. Well, amen. That's true. It was perfect daylight there, and we were all waiting for Dr. Schiff's return, which is odd because he was not coming to the boat while continents and oceans are shifting. Well, it's kind of like Jesus, right? He came to the disciples walking on the water. So can the man-child in whom he lives do this? Well, of course. Well, of course. We shall see greater things than these. I remember, like a mighty wind, Mel Terry who talked about the Indonesian revivals, how, you know, how Indonesia's a lot of little islands and how people needed to get the gospel and they didn't have any way to get it, so they walked on the water. Lots of hundreds of people saw this. It turned a lot of people to God. You can imagine people walking on the water. We're going to, things like this, and greater works than these shall you do, Jesus said, right? So, how can Jesus get out here and help us? Well, he can walk on the water. So can the man child. We were all on our way to meet him in the University Hospital, New City Complex. And the New City, of course, is Jerusalem, right? Which is coming down out of heaven from God, brand new. So, that waiting feeling had me restless while everyone else continued to speak so highly of him and were so peaceful waiting for him. Amen. Rion was sitting at the front part of the boat / caravan and was so peaceful and praising. There was chaos on the water, but not near us. Well, you know, the waves were lifting up and so on and so forth, and Jesus came to him walking on the water, didn't he? He knew how to reach him. It wasn't as though Jesus couldn't reach him. So there was chaos on the water, but not near us. We were in the sea surrounding the mountain complex, which like the Sea of Galilee. And I asked God for a verse by random and received, to be sober-minded, chaste, workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husbands, which she recognized, in the dream, right? That the word of God be not blasphemed. Indeed, Titus 2 explains exactly how the church, the called out ones, need to behave. And indeed, notice how close this is to a previous dream we shared. Right? Vanessa's dream. How to behave in the house of God, right? We need to behave, and indeed, on that caravan boat, they were all behaving like that. It was beautiful to see such perfection and contentment from each one regarding their roles in the kingdom. Yes, there's peace among the people of God, the friends, men of goodwill. Jesus came to bring peace among men of goodwill, right? Amen. Watch out for the rest, because they're trouble. So she had another dream here, January the 20th, this 2020. I saw David Eales in an orchard. It was the most beautiful fruit I'd ever seen. I thought maybe it was apples or peaches, but it was neither. Perhaps the fruit of the tree of life. Maybe so. He touched one of the fruits and then put his arms out in a praise position and said, "The fruit is ready. Time to harvest." Well, there's another revelation, you know, I think that kind of goes parallel to the bride revelation that we shared. The bride had made herself ready, right? So the fruit is ready, time to harvest. And if you remember, the man-child Jesus said in Luke 10:2, and he said unto them, "The harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest." And that's what we're doing with our school, is we're getting laborers ready to go into the harvest. You can only do that by putting the Word of God in your hearts and letting Jesus do it, right? He is going to have complete success in the harvest. Amen. And yes, there is a harvest for the bride, a first fruits kind of harvest. And then there's a harvest of the ingathering harvest at the end. And we talk about that too. That's after the tribulation. There's a great harvest, the largest harvest, by the way. First fruits harvest is a small harvest. And the bride is a small group among all the queens and concubines and virgins that, you know, are admiring her in the Song of Solomon, right? So, wouldn't you like to be in the bride? Well, just put the Word in your heart and act on it. Live it. Desire to be like Jesus. And pray and ask Him to work it in you, to will and to do of His good pleasure. And you'll be okay. Pray every day. Ask the Lord to draw you unto Him. Give you the desires that you need. Give you a desire to read the Word. Give you a desire to speak to the people around you of your own testimony and your own words. Because, you know, giving is also receiving, right? You give to people and they give back. Men give and it'll be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. So I believe that David here in the orchard looking at the fruit is representative of the man-child body, right? And then she went on to say, David's son was responsible for building the temple. Well, think about that. Okay. The son of David was Solomon. He was the one who built the temple. But also Jesus was called the son of David. And Jesus in the man-child is going to be the son of David. So, once again, we see that the temple is to be built in these days. She said, David's son was responsible for building the temple and the sanctuary where God would dwell. And we are that temple now, as Christ's seed is in us, and therefore we house the tree of life and must bear fruit. It seems that David / man-child / UBM ministry might be ready for the harvest. Well, we're certainly getting ready. We're getting the food all cooked up and put up. we had some very wicked people do their best to take it down and destroy it or destroy our reputation and so on and so forth. But they're coming to their end too. So thank you, Father. Everything will be ready on time. We need resistance to make us strong. We've had plenty of that for quite a few years, and it's done nothing but help us. In fact, it's delivered us from a lot of leaven by the grace of God. Thank you so much, God, for your kindness to us and blessing us to go through trials and troubles and tribulations for the purpose of manifesting Jesus in us. What a great thing, Lord, that we are so privileged. Lord, we see the multitudes out there that are a wreck. They need Jesus. Lord, we ask you to help us to be what they need. We ask you to live in us, speak through us, walk in us. To let your word be brought to our remembrance by your Holy Spirit constantly, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Lord, another thought comes to me. Lord, we ask you to reach out and touch the minds of your people who have the fog from this spray that they've been spraying, the fog in their mind, their memory, loss and all these things. So many people out there are complaining about that. Lord, we ask you to reach out right now and touch them in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, that their body and their mind is clean of all the chemicals and poisons that's been sprayed upon them. We thank you, Father, that these things can't harm them. And even if they drink any deadly thing, it won't harm them. And so, Lord, we know that that's all according to faith. We ask you to bless your people with faith and to receive this gift from you, Lord, of a healing in their minds and in their bodies and a deliverance from the curses that have been put upon them in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus bore our curse and he delivered us out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We thank you, Father, that you're going to use every one of us to bring in the harvest, Lord. We're going to, you know, open doors around us. You're going to open doors around us. You're going to bring people to us and put a word in our heart for them. You're going to heal their bodies. You're going to deliver them from demons. You're going to do through your people what's necessary to do for them. We thank you, Lord, for a mighty, mighty move of your Spirit on your people so that they can be useful in bringing in this great harvest. It is a great harvest. And, Lord, many people are getting their eyes open to the criminal government that they've been living under and the demonic activity among them. And, wow, Lord, the prosecutions that they have prepared against these corrupt people and the evil, evil things that they have done. And the self-righteous Phariseeism among them. Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name, grant your people repentance. Open your eyes, open their eyes to see what's going on. And that we have to run to Jesus and put our trust in him and believe in him and believe in his promises and exercise authority and dominion over the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and over the people around us who are seeking to be used by those principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Lord, the enemy is cast down. You've given us victory over our enemies. And we give praise unto you and thanks unto you, our God. We thank you, Father, that that your love in us will bring many people into the kingdom. And the anointing that we receive from the coming man-child to go out and to bring in the harvest will be effectual and powerful. And we'll bring in multitudes. And as we've seen in two of the dreams that I shared today, bringing in our relatives that we've prayed for so long, they're going to be coming in the name of Jesus. They will be impressed with the man-child, even though a lot of religious people may not be impressed with the man-child, just as it was in Jesus' day. In fact, they wanted to kill him. And that just proves who they are. You're of your father, the devil, Jesus said. They proved who they were. Lord, we thank you that we will recognize your sons, your daughters, your servants. We will recognize them. No, they don't have to all be correct in everything that they say and all the doctrines that they have. But we'll recognize them by the Spirit, by the love that they have one for another. And we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, don't let the deceivers delude your people any longer. Father, deliver your people out of bondage to Babylonish religion. Because you can't grow up there, Lord. It makes you very satisfied to be just like all the rest of them there. But peer pressure is bringing your people into bondage. And we just ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, put a hunger and a thirst in the heart of your people to seek you and to be delivered from this corrupt world. to deliver your people, Lord. We want to see this. Lord, remember, you were sent first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and you sent your disciples to go only in the way of the sheep of the house of Israel in the beginning. And, Lord, I know it's going to be that way this time, too, because we need the help in the harvest. We need God's people to realize that they are part of this harvest, that they have a job to do in getting the gospel out. In Jesus' name. You know, we've seen people get saved, and hunger and thirst for the word. Let me say this. In a lot of Arab lands and Persian lands, there is a great revival going on. It is so powerful and so awesome. These people who have lived under corrupt leadership that does nothing but hate, only legalism, do this or else, do that or else, all kinds of cleaning up people on the outside while they're evil on the inside. And we just ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, open the eyes of your people no matter where they are around this world, Lord. I know the Muslim peoples, that they've been through such pressure and such hatred all their lives. They're so tired of it. Constant wars between them, etc., etc. And when they hear the gospel, Lord, they are so hungry and so quick to open up to it and so quick to go and bring it to their friends. Lord, you're doing a mighty, mighty work. I've heard that the fastest growing church in the world is in Iran. And Lord, we're sending people in there. We're sending people with books in there. It's a wonderful thing. What's going on there? There are many, many little underground churches spread throughout Iran. They are not Arab people. They are Persian people. They are Shemites like the Jews are. They're actually kinfolk to the Jews. And they don't, the overwhelming majority of them are not against the Jews or America. That's their corrupt leadership that's been given over to Islam. Convert them or kill them or do both. You know, that's that corrupt leadership. They don't agree with that. The overwhelming majority of them don't agree with that. And, you know, they were actually, you know, listening to the Americans and loved the Americans and listened to their radio and so on and so forth before they came under these criminals. So, Lord, we just ask you to set the Persians free, Lord. Set them free in Jesus' name. They'll tell you right off that they're not Arabs. They're Persians. And set them free, Father. They need knowledge, Lord. They are gathering together in prayer meetings and praying and, of course, seeing answers. But they sure need knowledge, Lord. We thank you for opening the door for your word to get in there to them. And among all the Arabs, too, Lord, blessing them. They come so quickly to the gospel, quickly to the gospel. It's just astounding. People are afraid of them, but their own people are not afraid. We've seen some missionaries lose their lives. They're not afraid. They go out anyway. They've lost their lives to these criminals, but they're getting the gospel out. And they're going to be in the kingdom with the Lord. So, Lord, we praise you and we thank you. We can't say too much about this because, like I said, it would hurt a lot of people. Thank you, Father, that you're doing miracles for your people. Many of them are still in the world, but they're coming into the kingdom. Lord, we ask that you outpour your Holy Spirit upon these people who have come to you and received a born-again spirit, but yet they have not yet been filled with your Holy Spirit and signs and wonders and miracles. So, Lord, we ask you to sovereignly pour out your Holy Spirit upon these evangelists that are going everywhere to share the gospel. Thank you so much, Father, for doing this, that they will be confirmed with signs and wonders following. Yes, Lord, they need to be confirmed to the people. And they are seeing miracles. And thank you for that. But they need a lot more, because this revival has to go very, very quickly. And we thank you for also sending your angels to be round about these bold evangelists to their own countries. That you'll be round about them to protect them and to supernaturally deliver them in the name of Jesus. Lord, let their guardian angels do their job and guard them from harm. Let Psalm 91 be a part of their understanding, that they will bear thee up lest you dash your foot against a stone. Oh, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, your mighty angels, to go forth and to protect them and to get the gospel out and to bring dreams and visions and revelations to the Arabs and the Persians and others. Because multitudes of them are bumping into Jesus in their dreams. Multitudes of them. Thank you for a mighty miracle, Lord, spreading this constantly. There are people out there that don't know that there are other Christians around them, because they have to be so careful. And I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, to reveal to them truths in their dreams, truths from your word in their dreams. And be in them what you need to be in them, Jesus, and through them, Jesus, so that they can bring this thing that is so precious to them. So many Christians in this country have got different Bibles with dust gathering on them, and these people would just love to have one in many cases. And we've done our best to do something about that. But we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you showed us that you could multiply our books and put them in places where they weren't, just supernaturally putting that book there for the people. Lord, we ask you to do that in the name of Jesus. We ask you to, and in fact, our books are being translated into Arabic. And Lord, we're thanking you for putting them in places that they're needed, for turning people to you, Lord, for giving wisdom from the word to these people and blessing them in a mighty, mighty way. And Lord, thank you for continuing to supply us with the money and the funds needed to continue this revival. It is a great revival. And I can just imagine it's going to be much greater when the man-child ministry comes. And they're able to translate in and out of places where you just can't get safely. And thank you for doing that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you. We ask that everybody that joins us today be blessed. Be blessed in your word. Have a love and a thirst and a hunger for your word and the words of righteousness and truth. Lord, I ask you to give to your people dreams and visions, directions, where they are to go, where they're supposed to be, how to escape these plagues that are the deep state is doing their very best to spread across this land. These are criminals and traitors, but they're filled with demons, so that's what demons do. But we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, to turn many of them to righteousness. Make them sick of their lifestyle. Give them a vision of what they look like to you. And turn them to you, Father. Do mighty miracles. Bring salvation. Yes, bring in multitudes of them that can go out and give a testimony of where they've been and where they're going. We ask it in the name of Jesus, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for miraculously meeting the needs of your people all over the world, Lord. And Lord, in China, where there are many, many Christians in China, and some of them are not full gospel, but they really need to be now, because they need to be able to pray and resurrect the dead and heal the sick. They need that. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to pour out your Spirit on our Chinese brethren, that they will be able to lay hands on the sick and speak resurrection to the dead and meet the needs of the people around them. Let the signs and wonders turn multitudes of them that are locked up in those cities over there that they have just written off, closed them up, locked them up with the diseased, knowing that it's going to eventually wipe out multitudes of them, just writing them off so that they can save 11 cities, they say, which is their industrial base. And they're just thinking about money. They ain't worried about people, millions and millions of people. They ain't caring about them. We ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that that evil regime be overthrown. They're also trying to overthrow Hong Kong. And they're trying to overthrow Taiwan. They're trying to take down their enemies with them. It has been said by the people that know that they redesigned this coronavirus in order to kill off the Christians or kill off the people in America. They have said for years they did not want to nuke America because it would make the land unprofitable to them and the animals unprofitable to them and the fruit unprofitable to them. They wanted to use biological warfare, and that's what they've been doing. They've got a lot of labs just like that one making these things, and they obviously haven't got sense enough to keep it from getting out. So, Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name, Lord. Now, we know that this is going to march across our land, and it's going to take some people out. But we have a Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, a Passover lamb, that if we eat the head, the body, and the legs, we will survive. Because it is the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, and the walk of Christ that we're talking about. He is the Word of God. He is the Lamb of God. And so, Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name that you will teach your people, even your people in China who are locked up and can get their word out and read it while they're locked up. And, Lord, we ask you to do something that you've done for me, and I know you can do, is put food in their stomachs, Lord. Put food in their stomachs. Some of those people are starving to death while the disease ravages around them. And if they're locked up with somebody who's sick, they generally all get sick. But Lord, you are a mighty Savior. We ask you to reach into those houses and take care of your elect among them. And those that are your elect, put it in their heart to share the good news with others. Fill them with your Holy Spirit so that they can lay hands on the sick and they recover, so that they can resurrect the dead, so that they can bind the demons of plague from their houses. Lord, give them knowledge of these things. Give them knowledge and understanding of these things. Thank you, Father, for doing a mighty, mighty work among those people and the nations that are now coming into it. There's a lag time. The Chinese have been in it for a couple of months, but America's only been in it for a few weeks now. And there's a lag time before the geometric progression kicks in and multitudes of people who were infected by people who didn't have any symptoms had come into the country and given it to them. And so here we go. Here we go. There's going to be trials and tribulations. Do we believe in the Passover lamb? Do we believe? Can we confess it? Can we go out and witness to these people without being fearful that we're going to receive these things? Lord, we ask you to let not fear be among your people. We ask that your people be bold. and confess you before men that they're not going to catch this. Because we have a Passover lamb, and he bore the curse for us, and we've been delivered. Amen. Let your people be bold, Father. Speak boldly. Lord, relatives need to hear these things. Yeah, you may not be popular at the moment, but down the road they might remember and act on your words. So, Lord, we ask you to make your people bold to go and talk to their relatives. We sent out a teaching recently that would lead people to understand how to be under the blood covering, how to be delivered from the plague. Thank you, Father, that your people will look at that and say, this is perfect to give to people who don't know what's coming and don't know how to repent, turn to the Lord, and have his benefits as far as the Passover. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Thank you, Lord, for causing your people to spread the word. The seven steps that I sent out to be immunized by God. Thank you, Father. And, of course, those of you that that aren't on our e-list, you know, you don't get these things, but you can go to the front of the site and get on our e-list, and they will be sent out to you. Warnings, revelations, teachings, seven steps that God gives. Thank you so much, Father, for your blessing us today. Thank you for blessing all the brethren that have joined us today. Thank you for pouring out your spirit on our brethren in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, saints, thank you so much for being with us today. We love you so much. And we thank you for your goodness to us in Jesus' name. And we pray for you all the time. We come together almost every day. In fact, every day but one, we have a prayer meeting in the morning. And we pray for the people of God. And we bind the demons. And we loose the angels. And on and on. Thank you so much for joining us today. God bless you and keep you. Good night.